Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph. We're beginning three lines from the top, Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, with words Omer Rav Ashi. To remind ourselves, yesterday we had a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan regarding how is one permitted to go and be redeeming Shemitah. So we had the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who said that you're only allowed to go and redeem the Shemitah with a sale. So if your person is wanting to be mischalel, to desanctify the Shemitah produce, so we had said that you have to go and sell it to somebody else. And we gave a series yesterday, for example, where a person went through a whole process. He had Shemitah produce, and then he exchanged it. He sold it for Basar, and then he sold the Basar for Dogim, and he sold the Dogim for Yayin, so the Yayin for Shemen. And we said that each case it used the word Lokach to teach us that that's only acceptable through a Mechira, through a sale. That was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Yochanan had said, no, you could redeem it with money. You could do a regular pigeon with money, desanctify it with money. So that was the machlokes that we had yesterday, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, and today we'll comment on that. Three lines at the top, Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, with the words Omer Rav Ashi, machlokes b'pri Rishon. The machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Yochanan that I just mentioned is only dealing with the actual produce of Shemitah. Avol b'pri Sheni, when you exchange it already for something else. For example, in our case where, let's say the person had grapes that were Shemitah, and he exchanged them for meat. He sold them to somebody for meat. So Reuven had the grapes originally, and he sold them to Shimon, and in exchange he got back Basar. So we said the pre-sheni, that pre-sheni, if it now wants to be desanctified, divrei hakol bein baderech mekach bein baderech chilul. Even Rabbi Elazar would say in that situation that you can just take cash and go and redeem the basar that now has kedusha shvius. So what we call the pre-sheni, the exchanged item, or any further exchanges down the line, the pre-shlishi, the pre-revi, that would be the equivalent of the basar. That would be the second level. The dogim would be the third level. The yayin would be the fourth level. The shemen would be the fifth level. So these all different levels. Even Rabbi Elazar would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that you can go and exchange the kedusha of that with just monetary exchange, with a regular derech chilul, and you don't have to go and sell it. Aymar says, how could that possibly be? Well, Diktani, yesterday we gave the proof because that Brisa said, lokach, lokach. He kept on using the lashon of lokach, meaning a exchange that was a sale and not a redemption. So you specifically said lokach was the whole proof. So it must be lekicha, we said, according to Elazar, and not a chilul, not a pidgeon. So Aymar says, no, I did the ton of reish lokach. The first lokach, that was the critical factor, that you had to sell the original grapes that were Shemitah to somebody who repaid you for them with basar. So that original sale had to be lokach. And that's where Rabbi Elazar said that it's proof that only a mekach is good. Derech mekach is good, but derech chilul, derech pidyon is no good. That was only for the reisha. But since I did the ton of reisha lokach, since the reisha used the lashon of lokach, so then for the second, the third, the fourth, etc., for the basar to the dogim to the yayin to the shemen, so all of those, I did the ton of reisha lokach, ton of nami sefer lokach. That's why it carried on using the word lokach. It's not indicating, however, there would be a lazo would hold that you require lekicha, a mekach, for the third, the fourth, etc., there a pidyon would be fine. More questions are still. Esei Ravina or Ravashi. Ravina still questions this statement that Ravashi made that the Bepri-Sheni, Divri HaKol, Be-Mederech Mekach, Be-Mederech Chilul, it's good. And he brings a riot from the following Brisa. Mishesh lo sela shel shvius. If a person has monetary value of shvius in a coin. So in other words, that coin had been used to purchase Shemitah. So now the coin gets the Kedusha of Shemitah on it. And he wants to go buy a shirt with this money, but it has Kedusha of Shemitah. And Kedusha of Shvius, of Shemitah, you can't go and buy something that's not like Achilah. So you can't go buy a shirt. As Rashi points out, in Dibra Maskul, Bikesh Lo Likach Chaluk, Veinu Yochol, you're not allowed to take money that has Shemitah Kedusha attached to it and go purchase a Chaluk. Da Torah Amro Li Ochlo. When it says that you have the Shemitah, it's for your benefit, Li Ochlo, Bisol Chazman, only during the time that that thing can be eaten, and not for permanent. And this will be around, this shirt will be around for many years to come. So therefore, you can't go and take Shemitah money and go buy a shirt. But the guy needs a shirt. So what should he do? So Gemara says the following eitz in the Braisa. Go to your local familiar chenvani. As Rashi says, because he's rogeletzlo, he's your friend, you do business with him all the time, you're constantly buying his store, he'll be willing to do this for you, because he's, in a way, losing out on what's going to transpire, because his money, which now has no kedusha shvius, is now going to have kedusha shvius on it, so he's losing out, and that he can ask to use his money with kedusha shvius only. In any event, you go to your friend, this chenveni that you're rogel etzlo, v'omelo, and you tell him, tein li b'sela peiros, please give me a sell's worth of fruit. So he does, v'nosin lo. So he goes and takes the sela, and he gets a sell's worth of fruit. So now the sela has become deconsecrated, and the fruit now has kedusha shvius. Now, the chozer, he then takes the fruit that he just got from the person, and he says to the storekeeper, and he says, Omerlo, hare peros halalu nesun loch b'matana. I'm giving you all this peros shvius kedusha fruit that I just bought from you back to you as a matana. Hu omerlo, hey lucha sela zu b'matana. And the storekeeper says, sure, no problem. And by the way, here's a sela back to you of chulin sela. Now it was a chulin sela that I'm giving back to you. So the bottom line is, this person made an exchange, his original sela that had kedusha shvius with, is now back in his pocket without the kedusha shvius, and the fruits that the storekeeper originally had that had no kedusha shvius now have kedusha shvius, and therefore v'alo lokech ben mashiyirtza. Now the person who had the seller originally with kedusha shvius now has a seller that doesn't have kedusha shvius, and he can go and purchase a choluk with it. Now that's why we needed the chenveni to be his friend, because the chenveni has these fruits that are now shmita, so he doesn't mind obviously eating them as shmita, with all the restrictions that that entails, because Mistama, he doesn't mind doing that. So therefore, this is the Eitzah from this Braisa. Now, here's the Kasha of Ravina, sister of Ashi. According to you, V'ho'ho'cha depreciating you. This money, this Sela, obviously didn't grow in the ground, so this was pre-sheni. It was exchanged from Kedusha Shvius Peros, and now that's why the Kedusha went on to this money. But this is pre-sheni, so why did he have to go through this whole rigmarole? According to Rav Ashi's understanding of the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar should be able to say over here, pigeon is fine. So just take this coin and say the fruits that I have in my house are now, they've taken over the kedusha of this coin, and this coin is chulin, and then he could go buy the shirt himself. Why did he have to go involve the chenveni? Oh, great, he would have the fruit now in his house rather than in the chenveni's house, but that would be a simple answer. The fact that the Braisa didn't allow this, it must be uktani, derech mechach in, derech hilulo, that it's only allowed through this exchange with the chenveni. You can't do this yourself. So this is a kasha against what Rav Ashi said. Seems that even by pre-sheni, Rabbi Elazar doesn't allow it based upon this Braisa. So where says the attacker right? Elom Rav Ashi. What I really meant to say is as follows. Machlokas be pre-sheni. The machlokas is only by the pre-sheni. Only over there do Rabbi Elazar and Yochanan argue whether the chilul is good. But even Rabbi Yochanan agrees by pre-rishon, with the actual kedusha of the perish shvius, avol the pre-rishon, everybody, including Rabbi Yochanan, would say, divri akol, derech mechach in, derech chilulo, that you only can do it via an exchange through a sale and not via a pigeon, a chilul. But that's the way the Rav Ashi is now properly understood. Gemara says that still is a problem. Rav Ashi says, "Oh, diktani echod shvius vechod ma'aser sheni." Yesterday we quoted the Braisa, and we said that whether it's shvius or ma'aser sheni, you're allowed to go and do a chilul on it. So ma'aser sheni, you're allowed to do a chilul on it. So to shvius, you're allowed to do a chilul on it. So this would be a problem for Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, "No. When we said shvius in this Braisa, it meant demei shvius. My shvius, demei shvius. It wasn't talking about the actual fruits. It was talking about something that had already been exchanged for it. This is what we call perisheni." And Rav Ashi understands Rav Yochanan as saying that by Perusheni, that's where he holds that you're allowed to go and redeem it, but not by the actual fruit itself. And I'll show you that this is right. If this isn't right, so then how did you understand Bahodiktani Echot Shvius Echot Maisa Sheni? So the Braisa says that you can deconsecrate the Maisa Sheni, seemingly you can do it on anything. You can do it on money, or you can do it on a sale. Now, Maisa Sheni cannot be done with a sale. The actual Maisa Sheni can't be done. So therefore, when this Braisa said Shvius, it didn't mean the actual Shvius, because by Meiser, it didn't mean the actual Meiser. So therefore, when it says Shvius, it meant Demei Shvius, because by Meiser, it couldn't have meant Meiser Mamish, because Dilo Temahochi, Meiser Mamish, that's impossible. The only way you can actually redeem Meiser Sheni is by taking a coin with a Tzura on it. The Pasuk says, Vitzarta Kesab Yadecha. So you can't go and exchange Meiser Sheni for a cow, or for Basar, or a Dogim, or anything like that. You have to do it on an actual coin. So therefore, since this Braisa says, Echad Shvius Vechad Meiser Sheni, that you can go do it with Shvius or Meiser Sheni, so therefore it obviously is talking not about the actual Meiser Sheni or Shvius, it's talking about the secondary level, Demei Peros of Meiser Sheni, or Demei Shvius, not the actual Shvius, not the actual Meiser Sheni. Elo Demei Meiser, Hochanami Demei Shvius. And therefore, the Gemara says that's the reconciliation of Rav Ashi, understanding the machlokes between Rav Eloza and Rav Yochanan, that they're only arguing about by Perusheni, but not by the actual Meiser Sheni. Must be redeemed through Kesef, and the actual Shvius can only be redeemed through an exchange. You can't go and just deconsecrate it with money, but you have to sell it to somebody. It could be money that the person buys it from you, or it can be an exchange of an item. That's fine by Shvius. Of course, it's all not good by Meiser Sheni. Now we go to the next Mishnah. But Rishon ha'yolulav nito b'mikdash shiva. Now we go into when was the actual lulav and esrog taken. We see use lulav over here again. That's representing the dalid minim. So originally the halacha was midaraisa that the lulav was taken in the Beis Hamikdash all 7 days. That was what the din in the Torah tells us, and Rashi explains this is based upon the pasuk kidarshin v'toras kohanim mi usmachtem l'fnei Hashem elokechem shivas yomim. You will celebrate in front of Hashem, which means v'lo begulin, and not outside the Beis Hamikdash zayin yomim. So only in the Beis Hamikdash was it taken for 7 days. Uba Medina, in the rest of Klal Yisrael, the Medina according to Rashi means even Yerushalayim. The Medina includes every place but the Beis Hamikdash. There are others that disagree and say, no, the Beis Hamikdash includes Yerushalayim, and it means any place outside of Yerushalayim. But simple like Rashi means the Medina is any place outside the Beis Hamikdash, including Yerushalayim. They only took it on 1 day, mid Araisa. However, Nebuch, Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, once the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, here we're dealing with the second Beis Hamikdash, because it's Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai who's making the Takana. So Hiskin, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehei Lulav Nitol Bamedina Shiva. So Rav Yochanan Zakkai made many takanas to help us remember the Beis Hamikdash, and one of them was that he made the takana that we now take the lulav all 7 days, even in the Medina, because we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so we want to remember that there was a time that we used to take the lulav all 7 days in the Beis Hamikdash. So he made a takana that nowadays, which is the halacha lemaisa, that we take the lulav and esrog all 7 days. Nital b'Medina shiva azecher lemikdash. This is a reminder of what once was in the Beis Hamikdash, and be'ezras Hashem b'mehir b'yameinu will be again. Now, he also made other takonos, and the Mishnah here mentions one other specific one, Vishihei Yom Hanaf Kulo Oser, and the day of the waving, which was the waving of the Korban Omer that was brought on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach. So when you have the Beis HaMikdash, the Chodosh, the new produce of that year, the new grains of that year, are matured with the bringing of the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, which is the second day of Pesach. So when they brought that korban, from that point on, outside the Beis Hamikdash, you're now allowed to eat chadash. In the Beis Hamikdash, you weren't allowed to use the chadash until the kivsei atzeres and the shtei alechem were brought on Shavuos. But that's a minor detail for now. And this Yom Hanaf is the day of the waving, which is the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, the second day of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, and that entire day he was masaking. Well, defined in the Gemara, two different understandings of what Masakin means, and he made a takana that you're not allowed to have the Chodosh until the end of the day. Yom Hanaf Kulo Osir, the entire day is Osir. That is what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was making as the second takana. Now we go to the Gemara. Gemara asks, Minolon v'avdinon zech lemikdosh. Where do we get this idea that we should make a zecher for the Beis HaMikdosh? It's a beautiful idea. Where did he get it from? He must have had a source. So in fact, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, the Amar Korda pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Ki ale arucha loch. Umimakusayich erpoech ni'um Hashem, ki nidocha karulach tzion hidoresh ein la. So this pasuk tells us as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to cure you. I'm going to go and make sure that all of your wounds heal. Because all of the rest of the world, ki nidochu karulach, the rest of the world is calling you somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gotten rid of. He's banished you. So therefore, they say, Tzion, he doresh ein law. They say that Tzion has nobody being darshening it. Nobody's looking after Tzion anymore. Hashem has forsaken you. So therefore, from this idea of doresh ein law, that the Goyim are going to say that nobody is seeking out Tzion. So therefore, Miklal, Rabbi Yochanan Mizaki learned, Deboya Derisha, that we should go and seek it out. And therefore, he made all of these takonos, Zecher Luchurban. The Mishnah said, the second takonah was, Rishiyeh Yom Hanaf, Osir Kulo, that the entire Yom Hanaf that day should be Kulo Osir. So Gemara says, why? My timer. Because we hope today the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And people are going to say, oh, Eshtaka, last year, Milo Achalnu Behori Mizrach, we were able to eat the Chodosh as soon as the dawn came up, as soon as it was the 16th day of Nisan, which is the first day of Chol Hamoed in Eretz Yisrael, or for us in Galus, it's the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. As soon as that 16th day of Nisan came, we were allowed to eat Chodosh. So too this year. Hashtanami Necho. We're also allowed to eat it this year. So they had their Cheerios that morning, and it would be from Chodosh. Gemara says, oh, but they wouldn't realize. Last year there was no Beis HaMikdash, but now, Baruch Hashem, there is a Beis HaMikdash. So they wouldn't realize and understand that last year your reason you're allowed to eat was because as soon as it became dawn, so then the day has started, and therefore, since there was no Beis HaMikdash last year, so at the beginning of the day, you're allowed to go and eat the Chodosh. But this year, Baruch Hashem, Hashto Deika Beis HaMikdash, Behem Yemenu, this year, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So therefore, Omer Matir, it's not the day that is Matir the Chodosh, it's the bringing of the Korban Omer. And they won't know that. And therefore, this could lead to a Takala. And therefore, Reuchem and Zakeh instituted, because of this concern, Behera, not concern, because of this wonderful idea, the Behera, you bought a Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, people might make mistakes. Therefore, he said, don't eat Chodosh the entire day. A beautiful Takana. More questions this and says, exactly when exactly are we talking about the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt? The Ibane Emas. When will the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt that you have this concern? Ilemo the Ibane Bishisar. If you're telling me it's going to be rebuilt sometime on the 16th day of Nisan, so then there's no problem. There's no reason for the Takana. Harihitir Eir Mizrah, because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't extant that morning, and as soon as it became dawn that morning, hey, you're Mizrach, so then, boom, you're allowed to eat Chodosh. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in 3 hours. Gizontay, wonderful, wonderful. However, that doesn't change the din that you were allowed to eat the Chodosh. So it must be, the Gemara says, Elodi Bani B'chamesa. The Beis HaMikdash was built on the 15th. Now, Rashi told us both point out, there's a problem how you build the Beis HaMikdash in Yontif. So they suggest that the Beis HaMikdash was already rebuilt in Shemayim, and it's just waiting to come down as soon as we're worthy of having it come down, and therefore there won't be any malacha, and that's why you'd be allowed to go and have the Beis HaMikdash come on the 15th. Others suggest, no, that it would be built by human beings, but they'll make a mistake, and in their zeal to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, they'll build it on Yontif when you're not allowed to. In any event, the concern is, Elo di Ibane b'chameser. In fact, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt on the 15th of Nisan, and what's going to happen? Mechatzos hayom al-halan tishrei. So then, why are you saying that the whole day should be usher? Even if you're going to say that last year they made the calculation that you could eat from the beginning of the day, so why didn't the rabbi say, okay, so we'll just make it till Chatzos that it's aser, not allowed from the beginning of the day? Because Zrizim Makdim Lemitzis, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt already on the 15th, so almost a guarantee that the Korban Omer will be brought at least by Chatzos, if not sooner. So therefore, the Takana should have only been Mechatzos Hayom L'Halan Tishrei. They should have said that, okay, don't eat Chodosh in the morning, but from Chatzos and onwards you should be able to eat it, because Da'a Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah Menachos that even the people that live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, who didn't have instant communication, so they could assume in that mission that said, HaRechokim Mutar Mechatzos Hayom L'Halam. People lived in Haifa. They lived far away from the Beis HaMikdash. How did they know when the actual Korban Omer was brought? So, halachically, they were allowed to assume that by Chatzos it definitely was brought, because Lefisha ain't based in this Atzlimbo. The Beis HaMikdash is reasoning. Kohanim is reasoning. Of course, they brought the Korban as soon as they could. So, therefore, why did Yochim Zaki say the whole day is Aser, Yom Hanaf Kulo Aser? He should have said, we should make this gezeira only until Chatzos. Because, okay, last year we were able to eat from the morning, but we'll make that mistake this year. Okay, so make the gezeira that you can only eat the new crop, the Chodosh, from Chatzos and onwards. Because there's no way, even if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, that they won't bring the Korban Omer by Chatzos. So why did he say Yom Hanaf Kulo Aser? Someone says, no. Lo Tzriche, he needed to say all day is Aser, because the Ibani Balayla. You know what's going to happen? It could be rebuilt at nighttime. Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt at the start of the 16th day, which is the nighttime, or alternately, Inami Somot L'Shigesachamo, or at the very end of the 15th day. And they have to go and suddenly find out a place where they can go get the barley for the Korban Omer, and that's going to take a lot more time. So even though in general, Zrizenheim, but that's because they knew the day before, it was the Beis HaMikdash for the years beforehand. So they always were ready to go do the Omer the minute the first day of Yontif was over, and therefore they would be prepared to go bring the Korban Omer the first thing in the morning. But here, everything is brand new. So therefore, there is a concern that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt late on the 15th of Nisan in the afternoon, or actually in the 16th at night, and therefore the Korban Omer won't be brought early in the morning. It won't be brought by Chatzos, and therefore people will make this mistake. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai said, we better make the entire Yom Hanaf Kulo Aser. Very good. Teretz number one. Morgan's Teretz number two, and since it's a separate Teretz, we delete the word Omar, and we just say Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar. He said the following was what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Omra. In fact, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda that in fact the din is the Omar min ha-Torah hu aser. The entire day until you bring the Korban Omer The base din is that it's also, it's not Mehir Mizruch that it's Mutter. The base din is that the entire day is also until you bring the Korban Omer. That's a din daraisa. How does he know this? Because the Pasuk says, we turn to Mem Aleph Omer Beis. The Pasuk says, Ad Etza Mayom Azeh. The whole Pasuk says as follows. The Lechem, the Koli, the Karmel, Lo Sochlu, Nalit, the Chodosh, Ad Etza Mayom Azeh. Which means, in this case, where there's a base of Mikdash, Ad Aviyachem is Korban Elokechem. But if you don't have a base of Mikdash, it means Ad Itzu Oshel Yom, the entire day. As Rashi says, Kol Hayom, Kori Etzem Hayom. And furthermore, the Kesavar, Ad V'Ad Bechlal. And that means the entire day, because we include even the last remnants of the day is part of Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Ad V'Ad Bechlal. So therefore, the din, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agrees with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, is that the entire day is actually Osir. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was besake, the entire day is Osir. Where it says, really? Is that right? Umi Sava Le Kavose. Are you telling me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda? He doesn't. Well, Mifluk Poligale, he seems to argue with Rabbi Yehuda, because we're learning another Braisa, the Tanya. Now, actually, this is a Mishnah in Menachos, and therefore the Masorah Sasha says that it should say Ditnan instead of the Tanya. In any event, this Mishnah in Menachos tells us, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Nebuch, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, at that time, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she Yom Hanav Kulo Asur. He said that the entire 16th day of Nisan, the Yom Hanav, is entirely Asur. And Rabbi Yehuda argues with him. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Halo ben Ataru Asur. The Torah says it's Asur, the drasha that we just said. Dichsev Adetzma Yom Azeh, Aditzumo Shoyom. So you clearly see that Rabbi Yehuda holds this drasha that it's Asur Midaraisa, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai does not. So how can you tell me Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda? One says, no, Rabbi Yehuda, who the ka toy. Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. He misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's din. Who sabar, he said, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that he was hiskin, that it was a din de Rabbanon, mi de Rabbanon kamar, bavlohi. But that's incorrect. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said it was a din de Raisa, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda, mi de Raisa kamar. I then, why did he say hiskin? Well, hiskin kamar. Rabbi Yehuda Taka was right in understanding Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Hiskin is a Loshon of the Rabbanon, it's a Takana. Shmuel says, no, that's incorrect. My Hiskin, what does the word Hiskin mean in this situation? That he was Darash. He darshed in the din exactly like Rabbi Yehuda did, that it means Ad Etzma Yom Zeh Ad Itzumo Shol Hayom, which means all day long, Ad Bi'ad Bechlal. So therefore, the entire day is also Midaraisa. And therefore, my Hiskin, he then was Hiskin after he darshed in the din Daraisa and said that when there is no Beis HaMikdash, you have to understand that it's no heter to eat the chodesh that entire day. Yom Hanav kulo osur, following the din de oraisa. That's what he was hisking. Previously, if they brought the Korban Omer, it would be permitted from that point and on. However, once there is no Beis HaMikdash, he was darshening the din de oraisa and mesaking for everybody to know what the din is. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai actually agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. There's no stira. Next Mishnah. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, on the first day of Sukkot, Shecholios B'Shabbos, when it coincides with Shabbos, so the first day of Sukkot is Shabbos, so Min HaDin, the Torah tells us, you're allowed to go and take your Lulav and Esrog. There is no Gzeira Shema Yivirenu Dalet Amos V'Shus HaRabim. There is no such Gzeira. As Rashi points out, Damrinan L'Kama, we're going to learn on Mem Gimel, it's Hashem, in 2 days, we're going to learn over there that it was Gzeira D'Rabbanan, that the rabbi said, don't go and take the Lulav and Esrog on the first day of Sukkot when it's Shabbos. Because the Docha Mitzvah's Lulav Shabbos beyond the Varisha Levado. Because technically you would be allowed to. So the rabbis came up with the Gzeira because of Shema Yavirinu Dalet Amos Rishus Rabbim. You're not going to know how to do that in Anu. I mean, you're going to go carry it in the Rishus Rabbim. So the rabbi said, stop, don't do this. The rabbis have the power to say, Shevi Al Tasi, as we'll learn. But technically the din is, on the first day of Sukkot, if it's Shabbos, everybody would go and in the Beis HaMikdash, or outside the Beis HaMikdash, they would go and take their lulav to shul before Shabbos, call on molichanes lulavei and lebeis haknesses erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, if it's a din d'oraisa, you go from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRabim. That you're not allowed to desecrate in order to fulfill the mitzvah of doing lulav and esrog, because you can do it without desecrating the Shabbos. So bring your lulav and esrog to the shul or to the Beis HaMikdash on erev Shabbos, and the next morning, Shabbos, the first day of Sukkot, lemocharas mashkim, and everybody gets up early, ubon, they go to the shul, and everybody has to take their own lulav and esrog. Kol echad v'yechad makir eshalom. Everybody recognizes their own lulav and esrog v'notu when they take their own lulav and esrog because of the din that we've already mentioned many times previously, and here the Mishnah mentions it. Mipnei shamru chachamim, ein odom yotze yidei chavaso b'yom tavrishon b'lulavo shel chaveiro. On the first day, because of lakachtim lochem, you have to go and take your own lulav. So therefore, the rabbis darshan that it means that on the first day it must be your own lulav. So everybody who brought the lulav to shul erev Shabbos, erev Sukkot, so they would know which was theirs. They would recognize their own and take their own in order to fulfill the mitzvah of taking your own lulav and esrog on the first day. the rest of the Yontif. Ushay Mosachag, some suggest this was in the Beis HaMikdash, where the din of you have to take it for yourself all 7 days didn't apply, that it had to be your own Lulav and Esrog, only on the first day. Others suggest this is talking about already after Rav Yochanan Zakkai was Hiskin. So the Takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai didn't include that you have to have your own Lulav and Esrog for the rest of the days. In any event, all these rest of the days, Ushayi Mosachag, Odom Yosei Dechavosu, B'lulav Ushul Chaveiro, a person can be fulfilling his obligation with his friend's Lulav and Esrog. You don't have to go and take a Lulav and Esrog that belongs to you. Then we have a statement from Rav Yossi. The Mishnah continues and says, Rav Yossi Omer, Yom Tov Arishon Shochag Shecholios B'Shabbos, when Sukkot and Shabbos coincide, the first day of Sukkot is Shabbos, this Shochag, and the person made a mistake, and he didn't bring his Lulav and Esrog to Shul on Erev Shabbos, and he woke up Shabbos morning, says, oh, mitzvah, I'm looking excited, take the Lulav and Esrog to Shul and shake it in Shul, because you want to do it as part of the davening. Again, I mentioned the other day, it's a big machlokis as to whether you should bench Lulav and Esrog the first thing possible in the Sukkah, not as part of the davening, or should you wait till you get to Shachris and say with Halal together the bracha on the Lulav and Esrog in conjunction with the Halal and the Nanuim. So, the more commonly accepted custom amongst the pure halachasis is that you go and do it in shul. So v'shachach v'hotzias halulav l'shusarabim. This person was bringing his lulav and esrog to shul. He forgot to bring it to Erev Shabbos, and now he carried it into the shusarabim from his shusayochid. So what is the din? Potter. So Rav Yossi says you're in fact not chayev a korban chatos in this situation. You're potter for korban chatos. You shouldn't have done this, but you're not chayev a korban chatos. Mipnei shotzio b'rishus, because you took it out with quote permission. What does that mean? Rashi says, Birshus mitzvah. It meant that you were allowed to go take it out because you were performing the mitzvah. The Gemara will explain that if you already performed the mitzvah, then you would be chayav chatos. But if you hadn't yet performed the mitzvah, shayo torud b'mitzvah, he's excited and involved in doing the mitzvah. Umachashi b'osuk, he's thinking about the mitzvah, he's involved in the mitzvah. Umahai la'sosa, and he's rushing to go do the mitzvah. And that's why mitoch kach toh, therefore he made a mistake, v'shachach shu Shabbos, he forgot that it's Shabbos, and he carried it out on Shabbos, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRab, which is the Nesed Daraisa. And Kosova Rabbi Yossi, if Rabbi Yossi's sheet is, if a person makes a mistake with the Dvar Mitzvah, toh b'Dvar Mitzvah, v'shagag b'dover kores, and even if it was a dover kores, even if it's something that you'd only be chayiv a chatas for, if you did it by accident, in this situation, potter mikarbon, here you wouldn't bring a carbon chatas. That is a statement of Yossi. We'll explore it more in the Gemara. Now the Gemara starts off and says, Minahani Mili, how do we know that you need your own Lulav and Esrog on the first day of Sukkot? So we've already mentioned this many times. The Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Ulukachtem Lochem Priye Tzadar. So Ulukachtem means Shetei Lekicha Biyad Kolecha Biyachod. Everybody has to go and take their own Lulav and Esrog. It's not like one person takes it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So everybody has to take their own. And it says Lochem, which means Mishel Lochem. You have to take your own. And this excludes Lahotzi Es HaShol V'Es HaGozel. As we've already mentioned many times, you can't use a borrowed lulav on the first day unless it's a matana almanas lahafzi, which is not really borrowed. That's, it's given to you for now, and you're going to return it, as Gemara will explain momentarily. Or, if it's stolen, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah with a stolen lulav and esrog, because it has to belong to you. And Mikan Amru, based upon this, the Chacham said, Mikan Amru Chacham Ein Odom Yotzei Yedei Chavosu B'Yom Tov HaRishon Shochag B'Lulav HaShochaveiro Elo Im Kein Nisan Lo B'Matana. You can't use a borrowed lulav unless the person who you're borrowing from gives it to you as a full-fledged gift, albeit with the understanding that you're going to return it. And as the Gemara will say in a moment, if you return it, then you're yotzei. If you paradoxically don't return it, so then you weren't yotzei because it wasn't yours. It wasn't given to you with the understanding that you can use it unless you're going to return it. And we bring a Maisa Shohaya. It's always good when the Gemara brings a Maisa Shoya to show you that this is really the halacha. The Maisa Shoya is a famous Maisa. We often find that these great Tanoim would travel together. They were either fundraising or going to spread Yiddishkeit throughout the world. Or Maisa, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, these four great Tanoim were traveling together. Shoyaboy and Besina, they were on a boat. Now, there were not a lot of Lulavim and Srogim around. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, and he was the one that had a Lulav and Esrog, which he purchased for a tremendous amount of money. Shulakachol be'elav zuz. The Gemara will explain, this is to show the chavivus for this mitzvah. Now, they had one lulav and esrog between them. So first, Nitala Rabbi Gamliel Yotzebo. He first took the lulav and esrog, made the bracha, shook it, and then he was yotzi the mitzvah, unisano l'Rabbi Yeshua b'matana, and he gave it over to Rabbi Yeshua as a matana almanas lahachzir. Then Nitala Rabbi Yeshua b'yotzebo. Rabbi Yeshua now owned it. Rabbi Yeshua fulfilled the obligation, he made the bracha, shook it, etc. He was yotzei, and then he gave it over to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Matana. He gave it over to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a Matana. Then Natala Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'yotzebo. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took the lulav nesuk, made the bracha, shook it, and then unesanam b'matala Rabbi Akiva. He gave it over to Rabbi Akiva to now fulfill the mitzvah. And Natala Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva took it v'yotzebo. He fulfilled the mitzvah. Be'achsiro l'Rabban Gamliel. And this was all a matana amanas lahachzir. So he returned this lulav nesuk to Rabban Gamliel. I'm assuming that the order in this Braisa is interesting because Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, Rabbi Yeshua was the Skan Nasi. Ultimately, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi for a short period of time. He shared it with Rabban Gamliel, and Rabbi Akiva, therefore, wasn't in an official position, so that's why he was the fourth in this progression. He was actually older than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so that's why I would have thought he would have gone before him, but Mestam, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, so therefore, that's why he's given it first. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Lomalei Lememar Hachziro. What was the point in this Braisa of saying that Rabbi Akiva gave it back to Rabban Gamliel? Oh, that's to teach us Milsa Agav Urche Komashvan. That's to teach us this halacha of Matan Amanas Lahachzir. And that is that Matan Amanas Lahachzir Shmo Matana. This is considered a valid Matana. Kiyod Amar Rava, as Rava said, Hai Loch Esrog Ze Amanas Shetachziru Li. If a person says, Reuven says to his friend Shimon, I'm letting you use my lulav and esrog, and it's yours on the first day of Sukkot, so you can be fulfilling the mitzvah, but only on the condition that you return it to me afterwards. I want the rest of my family to use it afterwards, whatever. And the person says, fine. Natalo, he takes it, v'yotzebo, and he tries to fulfill his obligation with it. So did he or did he not fulfill his obligation? So as I mentioned before, Herzero, if he does return it, so then he fulfilled it tonight, and Samatona Amanas Lahasir, and Yotza. However, paradoxically, Lo Herzero, if he doesn't return it, so then he never fulfilled it tonight, and it wasn't a Matana, and therefore Lo Yotza, because he didn't have his own Lulav and Esrog at that time. Mark continues and says, what was the purpose of the Brice of telling us that it was worth $1,000, 1,000 zuz? So as I mentioned already, this is where I got it from. If you're willing to pay $1,000 for a mitzvah, boy oh boy, are you giving that mitzvah a great chashivas. And therefore, this was the chavivus that we see of the gedolim to do a mitzvah. They're willing to give $1,000, right? People spent a tremendous amount of money to buy a Super Bowl ticket. They'll scalp a ticket. They'll get it for $5,000. So how many people would do that for an esrog? So that's the point over here, that a person has to be willing to pay a tremendous amount of money to do the mitzvahs. That shows how dear the mitzvah is to you.
My father, Abba, meaning Ameimar,
he would hold on to the lulav while he was davening. He had such a chavivus for the lulav, he didn't want to leave it go, so he davened with it. More questions is, how are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to hold anything in your hands while you're davening.
The Braisa says you shouldn't hold your tefillin in your hand when you're davening. The Sefer Torah, you shouldn't hold the Sefer Torah while you're davening, because you may drop it, the Yispala.
Because we're concerned over here that you're going to be concentrated on the tefillin, concentrated on the Sefer Torah, you won't be concentrated on the davening. So don't hold these things while you're davening.
Likewise, don't hold on to tefillin if you're going to urinate. You threw off your tefillin, go to the bathroom, so don't hold on to them, because there's a concern over here that you won't treat the tefillin properly because you're concentrating on going to the bathroom and you're not going to treat the tefillin properly.
And likewise, don't go and sleep with the tefillin in your hand.
Not even a temporary sleep and certainly not a permanent sleep, because you're not going to treat the tefillin properly.
Yomer Shmuel said, the same thing applies as well. You're not supposed to hold anything in your hand while you're davening. You shouldn't hold a sock, you shouldn't hold a knife. It may fall down. So therefore, you're going to watch it carefully, and you're not going to concentrate on the davening. Concentrate on the knife, a kikar, or a loaf of bread. You likewise don't want to fall down and get spoiled. So you'll concentrate on the bread and not on the davening. And most, you don't want your money to get lost. So you'll concentrate on the money and not on the davening.
All of these things are the same idea, that you're not supposed to hold something while you're davening because you're going to concentrate on that other thing and not on the davening. So therefore, how can you tell me, Ameimar, held the lulav and esrog in his hand the entire time? You're not supposed to do that while you're davening.
So the Gemara answered, no, hosom lav mitzvah ninu. Holding a knife, holding a bread, that's not a mitzvah. And therefore, utarid bahu, a person's going to be preoccupied that he shouldn't lose the knife, drop the knife, hurt himself, etc., the food, and cause it to go to waste. But with a mitzvah like lulav and esrog, koch a mitzvah ninu, the lo tarid bahu, a person's not going to be preoccupied with it. It's going to enhance his davening. I'm holding a holy lulav and esrog, and I'm davening. So it's going to be a higher level of davening, and that's why a memer was allowed to do this.
Similarly, the Braisa says, Tanya, we're learning in Tosefta, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok said,
Kach hayo min hagin shalan shi Yushalayim. This was the minhag of the people in Yushalayim. What did they do?
Adam yotzi mibeso, when he leave his house, love of yado, he would take his lulav with him wherever he went.
Holot leis haknesses, go to shul, love of yado. He would carry his lulav to shul.
And in shul, kari kriyashma, mispalal, he would say kriyashma, the brachos of kriyashma, and mispalal shman esrei, v'lulava b'yada, and he would hold on to the lulav.
Kari bat Torah, they'd get an aliyah, so v'noseis kapovo, they were duchening, so then they would have to put down the lulav and esrei, because you need your hands when you're duchening, and you need your hands to hold on to the atzus chaim of the Sefer Torah. So meniach l'gabikakov, they would put the lulav down for a moment on the ground, in a place that was b'chavadik, they wouldn't just throw it down on the floor.
Likewise, after they got left shul, whole etlavaka cholim, they went to do a mitzvah bikur cholim, which you're allowed to do technically on Yontif, b'koshia tiru, because you should try to do it during the weekday. But if somebody needs the help on Yontif, you're certainly allowed to do it on Yontif or Shabbos. Well, l'nachem eveilim, you should again try to do this on the weekdays. But if you weren't able to do so, so you're allowed to do it on Shabbos and Yontif, b'koshia tiru, l'nachem eveilim. So they would go to do bikur cholim or nichum eveilim, l'lal v'yodo. They would hold the lulav with them, because again, the chabiva said mitzvah. The only time they would not hold the lulav was nichlas the base of medrash, when you have to concentrate in your learning and you're not going to be able to focus on the lulav and esrog. So then mishagir lulav ubiyad beno ubiyad abdo, they would give the lulav to their children or their servants ubiyad shlucho or to a messenger, so they could go concentrate on the learning in the base of medrash. No. Why is he telling us this? Michael Mashulon, Lodiach Hakam, how you zrizim the mitzvahs. Again, to show us the chavivas and the zrizus that these people had for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Then we quote the Mishnah. We said, Rav Yossi Omer, Yontif, when Yontif and Shabbos fall out together, so a person should go and bring his lulav nesug erev Shabbos. But if he forgot the shochach and he brought it on Shabbos, so then he is not chayev b'kor mechatas. That's what Rav Yossi Omer Yontif is quoted from the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, and we turn to Membeis Amud Aleph, we only said this, lo shanu ela shel yotzbo. This that Rav Yossi said that you're not chayev b'kor mechatas was you hadn't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of lulav nesug. Abo yotzbo, but if you'd already fulfilled it and now you're going and carrying it out, so then you are in fact going to be chayev b'kor mechatas. Ayin Gemara says, the minute you pick it up, you're yotze. So how could you ever carry it outside and not have already fulfilled the mitzvah? Ha mida agbe nafakbe. As soon as you pick up a lulav nesug, you're yotze. So why over here are you telling me that he's potter? Because you should have already been yotze, and therefore you should be chayim. Gemara says, "Amabaye kishah focho." Oh, because he held it upside down. This is the very famous source of people picking up the lulav and esrog, because you want to be yotze the mitzvah with the bracha over al esiyosim, but you hold the esrog upside down, because in this way you can't be yotze. So likewise, the person was carrying it to shul, he held it upside down, and therefore he wasn't yet yotze. But if in fact the person had been yotze, then he would be chayim achatas. Amar Abaye kishah focho. Therefore, Abaye said the reason why he wasn't yotzi up because he had turned it upside down. Tosus points out there are many ways that you would not be yotzi as well. You could hold them far apart. You could hold them not derek yidula, which is what we just said over here, kishah focho, or you can have kavana not to be yotzi. So there are many ways that a person could, in fact, not be yotzi. And Abaye is saying over here just one of them. Okay. Rava gives another teretz. Rava ma'a filu tema shel afocho. No, even if he didn't turn it upside down. You know what? It's dealing over here that he wasn't yotze because hochul ma'yaskin and kikon showed co bichli. He didn't carry it with his hands. He carried it in the lulav holder. And therefore, that's why he wasn't yotze. Mor says, Rava was the one that said that lekicha ayde davarachar shmo lekicha. Well, Rava, who the amar, lekicha ayde davarachar shmo lekicha. So why would you not be yotze if you're holding it in the lulav holder? You're holding it in the esrog box. According to Rava, you would be yotze already. So how could you ever be going outside without being yotze that you're saying that you're not chayev achar menchatas? You already were yotze. So Mara answers, no, hani mili derech kavod. The only time that you're yotze, by according to Rava, with lekicha yedei dover acher, is a b'chavodik away. But here, avod derech bizoyin, Rashi explains, you're carrying it on a plate. You're not carrying it in a normal way of kavod. It's a derech bizoyin. You have it on a plate, so then, lo. So then you're not yotze. And therefore, if you're not yotze, so if a person forgot it was Shabbos and carried it out, Rav Yossi says, you would not be chayev a korban chatos. With this, we conclude today's shir.